Harvest New Beginnings Church is located in Oswego, Illinois. Our mission is to make disciples who are radically devoted to Christ, having both a deep love for God and a sincere love for people. This message is brought to you by Pastor Scott Poling.
They were one of the greatest comedic duos of all time, performing and entertaining audiences in the 1940s and the early 1950s. And in what's been called one of the best-known comedy routines of all time, Bud Abbott tries to convey the nicknames of baseball players and their positions to Lou Costello in Who's on First.
Well, let's see now. We have on our team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out, the guy's name. That's what I want to find out, the guy's name.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Now, Abbott, you want to be the manager of the baseball team?
Yes.
You know the guy's names?
Well, I should.
Well, now you tell me the guy's names on the baseball team.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
You ain't saying nothing to me yet. Go ahead and tell me.
I'm telling him.
You ain't said nothing yet. Go ahead and tell me.
Who's on first, what's on second, I don't know is on third.
You know the guy's names on the baseball team?
Yes.
Well, go ahead. Who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the guy's name.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I don't know.
Wait a minute.
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's his name.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
That's it. That's his name.
Well, you ain't said nothing. I ain't asked you nothing.
You did.
You know the guy's name on first base?
Sure.
Well, tell me the guy's name on first base.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who is on first, Lou?
What are you asking me for?
Now, don't get excited. I'm saying who.
I'm asking you a simple question. Who's on first?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who? Yeah. I'm asking you, what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no. What's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
Don't mix up my...
I'm not mixing up anybody. Now, what's the guy's name on first base?
Now, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. We're not talking.
How did I get on third base?
You mentioned his name.
I mentioned his name?
Yes.
I don't know anybody's name on the team. How could I mention a guy's name?
You did. You just mentioned it.
All right. What's the guy's name on third base?
No, what's on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on first.
See what I mean? I didn't even mention a guy's name on third base.
Yes, you did.
All right, then. Who's playing third base?
No, who's on first?
I'm not asking you what's on first.
What's on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know. He's third base. I don't know anybody on a baseball team.
You do. You mention their names.
I do?
Sure.
You got an outfield?
Well, naturally.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask you.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Well, go ahead. Tell me.
Tell you what?
The left fielder's name.
Why?
Because I want to know. Because.
Oh, he's center field. You know these players as well.
Who's in center field?
No, who's on first?
What's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know. Third base.
Have you ever had a conversation like that? That ended in nothing but frustration when you're just talking in circles with someone and you're making no ground with them and there's nothing funny about it. We've all had difficult conversations with very difficult people. Conversations that are exasperating and they're draining and they go nowhere and nothing gets accomplished. Difficult people make for very difficult conversations. Well, how do you communicate with a difficult person? And how do you communicate with a foolish person? Especially when they engage you in a conversation. When a foolish person confronts you or corners you, tries to provoke you, and they refuse to listen, to reason, and then they just end up mocking you or making fun of you or getting mad at you. What do you say when you're in a conversation with that coworker, that neighbor, that relative, that person on social media? How do you have a conversation with a fool? That's today's message, as we learn how to FaceTime with a fool. It's the third message in our series on foolproof, foolproofing our lives, learning how to handle fools and learning how not to become a fool. A couple weeks ago, we unmasked the fool. We identified what he looks like, what he acts like. And then we saw the dangers last week of a fool. And today, we will FaceTime with the fool. We will learn how to communicate with the fool. And as I've been studying these passages, and even this past week, I sadly can't get over the fact how many times I am the fool. And I don't want to be. And so as you listen to this message today, there'll be times when you're thinking, that's me. Let God teach you. Let God teach me. Because sometimes it's not the people out there. It's being open to the lessons the Lord wants me to learn and wants you to learn. Now, the Word of God is intensely practical. It's filled with this incredible wisdom. And I want you to turn to the wisdom literature of the Bible found in the book of Proverbs. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs. And in our church, we go through Scripture. That's the map for life. And so if you ever come into our church and you don't have a Bible, we always have them on the back table available for you. And we'll put verses up on the screen as well. But we're going to dig into the Word of God with the wisdom literature of Scripture. And the wisest man who ever lived was King Solomon. And we're going to learn lessons. And we're going to learn lessons from an angle today of what not to do when conversing with a fool. And a few of the verses we'll study today, we saw in week one. We also saw in week two. But we're going to review them, some of them, in a new light and in a new context as we come face to face with a fool and we learn how to have a conversation with a fool. And the first thing we learn is this: don't have a conversation with a fool. Don't talk to them. Don't speak to them. Don't engage them. It's the opposite of the Nike slogan. Just don't do it. Just don't. Proverbs 23:9. Read this verse with me. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. So don't invite them into a conversation. Now, what this really stands out to me is how many conversations have you and I had with people that should have never taken place? How much time did we waste in a conversation that should have never happened? How many brain cells did we use up? How much energy was spent? You don't speak in the hearing of a fool. Do not speak in their hearing. So in other words, take in your surroundings. Consider who is in earshot. Exercise discernment. Not all words are meant for all people. Say that with me. Not all words are meant for all people. And please don't be like that obnoxious guy in the restaurant who thinks everybody needs to hear his conversation. Or that person on the phone speaking so loud that they think everybody is supposed to hear their conversation. You don't invite a fool into the conversation. You may say, well, why not? Proverbs 23:9, the second part of it. For he will despise the wisdom of your words. Not only reject the wisdom, he will despise it. He will belittle and berate and ridicule and scorn what you have said. We saw this last week with our Lord's exhortation. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine. Why? They will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So you don't waste your breath having a spiritual conversation. Now, right there, stop. I'm all for evangelism. I'm all for sharing our faith with unbelievers so that they can come to know Jesus as their Savior. But the words of our Lord here are very clear. Don't give what's holy to dogs. Don't throw your pearls before swine. In other words, don't waste your breath on a spiritual conversation with a fool. An insincere unbeliever who's just looking for a fight. Who wants to mock you and make fun of you and tear down the Word of God and bait you at times to do it. Don't fall for that. They will trample the truths of God's holy word underfoot. Don't allow that to happen. And then they're going to turn and tear you to pieces. They will insult you and viciously attack you and curse you and be unmerciful as they do it. And it doesn't matter how kind you are, how clear and articulate you are, how loving and grace-filled you are. They will despise the wisdom of your words. Why? Because fools are hard-hearted and thick-headed. That's why. It's like rain that bounces off concrete or asphalt. Fools are impervious to the words of wisdom. They do not get through. It just bounces off and runs off. They won't take advice. They won't listen to correction. So don't have a conversation with a fool. Secondly, don't stay. Don't stay in the presence of a fool. Get up and go. Leave the conversation. And I kid you not, as soon as I said that, in the first service, someone on the front row got up and had to go to the bathroom. The whole place just lost it. And I'm just trying to preach, thinking this person just did what this, and I'm the one talking. Proverbs 14:7, leave the presence of a fool or you will not discern words of knowledge. And leave implies urgency. You don't hang around. Why? Because it's not worth it. You will not discern words of knowledge. You're not going to get a lot of wisdom from a fool. You're going to get a lot of confusion from a fool. It's not worth having a conversation with a fool. Even when a fool tries to be wise, tries to be smart, and they're not, because they're ineffective at wisdom. Proverbs 26:7. Like the legs which are useless to the lame, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Now, this is not mocking anyone with a physical disability. God's word is simply using an illustration to teach an important spiritual truth. And this is what it is. What comes out of the mouth of a fool carries no weight. It carries no weight. They don't understand it. It doesn't make sense what they're saying. Their knowledge and their use of it is ineffective, and it's invalidated by their own lives. Her defective a character or his defective character just nullifies what comes out of their mouths. So they're ineffective at wisdom. Not only is a fool ineffective at wisdom, they're dangerous with wisdom. Proverbs 26:9. Like a thorn which falls into the hand of a drunkard, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. That's a strange picture, isn't it? So you got some guy who's drunk and he's taken a handful of thorns or a big old thorn in his hand. Obviously, he's going to puncture and hurt himself and possibly hurt other people. A fool trying to teach others wisdom is a dangerous thing. They lack the spiritual perception and understanding. You don't listen to the wisdom of a fool. You don't take advice from a fool. They're not only going to hurt themselves, their advice is going to hurt you. So you get up and you go and you leave the conversation. Or what I'd like to say is you make it a cul-de-sac conversation. In other words, you drive in and then you drive right out. You don't stay in that conversation. You don't park your car. You don't open the door. You don't get out of your vehicle and engage and talk to a fool. Why? Because it's a dead end. It's a dead end. It's not worth it. The conversation is going nowhere. And you may say, but Scott, why is it a dead end? And why should I leave? And shouldn't I speak a little bit to them? I want to give you 10 reasons why to get up and leave the conversation of a fool. Here's the first. Their conversation is a one-way street. Their mouths are open, but their minds are closed. Proverbs 18:2. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. He's not interested in listening to you. She's not interested in learning from you. A fool is only interested in talking about themselves and their goals and their lives and their ideas and their desires. When you talk to a fool, you're talking to a wall. When you talk to a fool, you are talking to a wall. Secondly, why leave the conversation of a fool? Blab, blab, blab. Say it with me. Blab, blab, blab. Proverbs 12:23, but the heart of fools proclaims blab, 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 folly. Proverbs 15:2, the mouth of fools spouts blab, 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 folly. They just spout off is all they do. There is no self-control over the mouth of a fool. It's all blab, blab, blab. I remember a few years ago, our basement is finished, And it was a really cold night. And man, one of those pipes burst, froze, and water's everywhere. And I have no idea where the shutoff valve is. None, zero, nothing. So it's just, there's no shutoff valve with a fool. It's just blab and blab and blab and blab and blab and blab. And it's like a broken hydrant. It's like there's no shutoff. It's like gushing forth nonsense. And sometimes the nonsense becomes profane and rude and disrespectful. Be careful. A fool doesn't flood you with their foolishness. Why do you leave the conversation of a fool? Thirdly, it's shallow and senseless. Ecclesiastes 7, 5 and 6. It's better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man than one to listen to the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorn bushes under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool, and this too is vanity. They're just going to sing and they're just going to laugh their life away. Now, there's nothing wrong with joy. There's nothing wrong with laughter. That's a gift from God. We know it. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is what? It's good medicine. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 4. There's an appointed time for everything, a time for every event under heaven. There's a time to weep and there's a time to what? There's a time to laugh. And so laughter is good. We know that. But when you need direction in life, when you need correction in life, you don't waste your time on a fool. You don't. They're just filled with senseless songs and loud laughter. Some of you like to go camping in the summertime, and you go to a campground and there's no wood anywhere, and you just kind of look around for some kindling, and he has the picture here of burning thorns. Finding some thorn bushes and grabbing them and throwing them into the fire and putting stuff on top of it. And when you burn thorns, that there's crackling and popping and noise and they're loud, but there's little heat. There's little comfort. And the fire just soon dies out. You know what you need to find yourself? You don't need to find yourself friends who are fools. They're like thorns. You need to find yourself a friend who's a good thick piece of oak. And they're going to burn bright, and they're going to burn long, and they're going to burn warm, and they're going to bring you comfort on those cold nights of your life. Fools are all over the place, and they burn up like that. Find yourself a friend who's a good piece of oak. And by the way, be that kind of friend. Don't be a senseless friend. Don't be a loud, obnoxious, shallow, laughter-filled friend. Be an oak friend and burn bright and burn long and burn warm and bring comfort to the people around you. Why do you leave the conversation of a fool? It's a one-way street. Blah, blah, blah. Shallow, senseless. Here's the next one. They're prone to argue. They're prone to argue. Proverbs 20, verse 3. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool is going to what? He's going to quarrel. He's a fighter is what he is. Contentious, quarrelsome. You know, I've talked about my dog at times. My dog, Scout, is the consummate gentleman. He's a lover. I mean, look at that dog. He's just a lover is what he is. He's so sweet. Why is he a lover? Because he's a dog of the Word of God. That is why, okay? I'm just telling you, he's very spiritual. Every morning he asks me to read Proverbs to him. But anyway, I have been running with my Weimaraner Scout for 9 years, okay? A long time. We have come across dozens and dozens and dozens of dogs on our run. And I tell you not, he has never started a fight a single time with another dog. He's never growled. He never bares his teeth. There's plenty of foolish dogs out there. He's even been attacked by a pit bull off leash on a trail in the middle of the woods. It just ripped into his ear. He just didn't even fight back. He's like, what are you doing, dude? Let go of me. It's just amazing. Listen, fools are like an arrogant boxer, okay? They hear the bell of a potential argument and they just jump in the ring with their fists up. They're just ready for a fight. They're aggressive and they're arrogant. That's what a fool is. They're aggressive and they're arrogant and they want to fight. And their verbal altercations sometimes lead to physical altercations. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips bring strife and his mouth calls for blows. Meaning their words can instigate trouble and even incite violence, the words of a fool. And by the way, when you argue with a fool, guess what? Everything gets resolved, right? Nothing gets resolved. It's not worth arguing with a fool. As a matter of fact, we read in Proverbs 29:9, when a wise man has a controversy with a foolish man, the foolish man either rages or he just laughs. And there's what? There's no rest. There's no resolution. Maybe there's a clear disagreement you have with somebody. Could never be over religion or politics, but that's another thing. And you're having a confrontation, you're having a discussion, it's turning into an argument over religion or politics or money or something else. And all of a sudden, you know how the fool responds? They just get angry, seething with anger and rage, or they just totally blow you off. They just laugh you to scorn and ridicule you, and there's no resolution whatsoever. That's why you leave the conversation of a fool. Here's another reason, number five, because they're just going to frustrate you to no end. They're going to cause you so much frustration. Proverbs 27:3, a stone is heavy, sand is weighty, the provocation of a fool is heavier than both of them. I have this rock wall that's in front of my house that I built many years ago, went to a quarry, put it all in there. Man, I got all this rock, put it in a pickup truck, drove it back, dug it out, set it all up. Well, years later, it's starting to fall down. The roots of the trees have grown and it's settled. And I've got to take all these rocks down and I've got to remove dirt and replace dirt and put them in. And it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort, dozens and dozens of rocks. And you know what God's word says? That's easier than talking to a fool. Because fools put a tremendous strain on you. They're hard to deal with. They're exhausting to your life and to your brain and to your heart when you have to deal with a fool. So get out of the conversation. Here's another one. They pervert their speech. They pervert their speech. Proverbs 19:1. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. So they twist their words. They distort what's morally right. In other words, they lie. Think about the context here. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. So the context is a poor man, but yet he has integrity. The fool will say whatever he needs to cheat people out of money. The fool will lie to make a buck. You can't trust what a fool is saying to be true. You can't tell if they're lying or telling the truth. It is not worth having a conversation with a fool. Here's another reason you leave. They like to gossip. Proverbs 18:6-8. Now verse 6, by way of context, a fool's lips. Verse 7, a fool's mouth. Verse 8, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. A fool will feed you sweet-tasting, sinful tidbits. Did you hear about so-and-so that lives two doors down? Did you hear what she did who's in the cubicle over there in the other office? What about our relative? Can you believe that? See, they love to feed you these morsels of information. That is a gossip. This gooey, gossipy morsels that are hard to resist, that just kind of melt in your mouth. They're kind of like truffles. Anybody here like truffles? Ooh. They're just so sweet and they just melt right there. And you say, oh, I don't like truffles. Well, then peanut M&Ms or whatever else you like. Donut holes. And where do they go? When someone gives you that morsel of information, it says it goes into the inmost part of our being. So that's the deepest recesses of our heart or our psyche. They penetrate our thoughts about that person. They penetrate our emotions and how we used to feel about that person. And now we don't think about them the same way, and we don't feel about them the same way, because the morsels have made you sick. It makes us sick, and it makes others sick, and it hurts our relationships, and it divides friendships, and it splits apart families, and it undermines trust. You don't listen to a gossip. Don't take their morsels of information. And please, if you've heard it, don't spread the sickness to somebody else. Quarantine the gossip with you. Because if you don't, you're the fool. You don't have the information right. You don't even know if it's true. You haven't talked to the person that said that. And that's what you should do with a gossip. Oh, is that true? Let's call them right now. I have their number. That'll shut them up immediately. And that's what you need to do. When someone is sharing gossip with you, you tell them, I'm going to go to that person right now. I'm going to confirm whether what you said is true or not. That'll shut them up really fast because they're a fool for sharing it with you. And now they know they've been a fool. And all of us have been fools in this area at one time or another. It's time to end the foolishness. Don't you dare share gossip about somebody else with someone else. End the foolishness now. End the gossip. End a conversation with a fool. Why? Number 8, they not only like to gossip, they like to slander. And this goes to a different level. Proverbs 10:18, he who conceals hatred has lying lips. I want you to understand the first line is very important. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. It's concealing hatred. They are concealing their hatred. There is no attempt to reconcile differences with someone. They hate that person. There's no attempt to clear the air in a mature way. They hate that person. See, a mature, godly person doesn't conceal hatred. They work through it. And they say, I need to sit down with you. Can I take you out to coffee? You know, something you said really hurt me. And you work through it. You don't keep it inside of you and hold in your anger and hold in your hatred, because then it comes out as slander. And then you start destroying reputations and destroying relationships. And I want you to understand, he who conceals hatred has lying lips. He who spreads slander is a fool. Slanderers are haters. Slanderers are haters. And it's their hatred that fuels their slander. The reason why people slander others is they hate them. The reason why you have slandered people is because you hate them. No, it's what God says. We have hatred in our hearts at times, and it has to be dealt with. That's how serious it is. Don't conceal your hatred. Work through it. When you're in the presence of a slanderer, you're in the presence of a hater, and you need to get out of there immediately. Now, what's fascinating about this verse is that in the original Hebrew, it contains recurrent sounds, similar to, say, slither, slip, slosh, slime, and slide. And the sound reinforces the message. Phonetically, it's repeated 6 times. So to hear this verse, you would be hearing, slander is the hissing of venomous snake sharing secrets. To hear this verse is to hear a snake. To listen to a slanderer is to listen to a venomous, poisonous snake. Snake is what you're listening to. With lies and innuendos and half-truths and distorted facts and exaggerations. Slander is poisoning people, is what it is, with the venom of hatred. And you may be here today, and you know what? You need to be defanged. Because God is saying, enough of your slander. Enough. You're filled with hatred, and it's coming out as poison. Leave the conversation of a fool. It's a one-way street. Blab, blab, blab. Shallow, senseless. No resolution. Great frustration. Pervert their speech. Gossip, slander. Here's the ninth one. They mock at sin. Proverbs 14:9. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there's goodwill. So fools make light of sin. They make light of their own sin. They make light of others' sin. They don't even call it sin. They really don't see it as sin. And contextually, it may even include the idea of mocking guilt offerings in the Old Testament. In other words, an offering of a sacrifice to cover one's sin, one's guilt, ultimately pointing to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins. That was the Old Testament sacrificial system. Covering my sin, pointing to Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice. In other words, fools mock at the guilt of sin, at the admission of sin. They would never admit their sin. They're a fool. Fools see no need for a guilt offering. Fools see an offering as a waste of money, a waste of resources, a waste of time. Which may be how some of you feel about an offering to God. It's just a waste of time, a waste of money, it's a waste. But that's a sermon for another day. Fools mock at a humble, penitent offering to God in worship because of sin. Why do you leave the conversation of a fool? Lastly, because oftentimes the conversation degenerates from bad to worst. Just gets worse and worse. We saw this a few weeks ago, Ecclesiastes 10:13. The beginning of his talking is folly, the end is wicked madness, yet the fool multiplies his words. So a conversation with a fool may start off really shallow and senseless and going nowhere, but by the end of the conversation, it's become very warped and very evil and very bad. Leave the conversation of a fool. How do you have a conversation with a fool? You don't have one. You don't stay in their presence. Thirdly, you don't answer a fool, but you do answer a fool. Huh? What are you talking about? You don't answer them, but you do answer them. What is that? That's a contradiction. This makes no sense, and that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will also be like him. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he not be wise in his own eyes. This is not a contradiction in Scripture. This is walking the line of wisdom, discerning when I should speak and how I should speak. And there is a time to be silent, but there is a time to speak. We're told that in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 and 7. There's an appointed time for everything, a time to be silent, and a time to speak. So what does this verse mean? Well, let's take it apart. Let's look at the first part of the verse, verse 4, and then verse 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will also be like him. So what does that mean? This is what it means. Don't sink to the level of a fool. Don't lower yourself to the level of a fool. Don't answer a fool according to his folly, or you're also going to be like him. In other words, this is what it means. Don't return insult for insult. They call you names and then you call them back. You've lowered yourself. They raise their voice and you're raising your voice. You've lowered yourself. They're cursing at you, so you start cursing at them. You've lowered yourself. You don't allow a fool to drag you down to their level. You don't allow that to happen. And again, we've all played the fools at times, guys. It's got to stop. Don't allow anybody to drag you down. So you don't sink to the level of a fool. Here's the second part of the verse, verse 5. But answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he not be wise in his own eyes. So you don't sink to the level of a fool, but secondly, you soundly refute a fool lest he thinks he's right. So you soundly refute him or her, lest they think they're right. So in other words, you don't allow a fool's unwarranted claims to go unanswered or unchallenged. If you allow their unwarranted claims or foolish talk to go unanswered or unchallenged, this is what happens. They assume they're right. And they assume you agree with them. And their assumptions are wrong. And then it strengthens their arrogant ignorance. You've got to soundly refute a fool. Now, you got to do that calmly and wisely, intelligently, and convincingly. You expose to them their faulty thinking, and you confront them in their erroneous views or beliefs, and choose your words carefully and wisely, and convey them carefully and wisely, and then end the discussion, end the conversation, and walk away, or block them on Facebook, whatever you need to do. But be done with it. That's what it means. So how do you have a conversation with a fool? You don't have a conversation with a fool. You don't stay in the presence of a fool. You don't answer a fool, but you do answer a fool. And then lastly, don't be the fool. The less words, the better. Say that with me. Don't be the fool. The less words, the better. Say that to the person next to you kindly. Don't be the fool. The less words, the better. And again, this is for you. This is for me. This is for us to learn how to communicate. One thing we need to learn is to practice self-restraint. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. He who restrains his words has knowledge. He who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is what? Considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. So one of the first signs of a knowledgeable, wise person is the ability to keep one's mouth shut. One of the first signs that you are a person of wisdom and intelligence and knowledge is that you have the ability to keep your mouth shut. You don't have to talk back. You don't have to have the last word. You don't. And especially when you're provoked to anger and you're ticked off, to exercise self-control with a cool spirit. As Maurice Switzer said in 1907, it is better to remain silent at the risk of being thought a fool than to talk and remove all doubt of it. So practice self-restraint. Next, limit your words. Proverbs 10:19. Say this, read this verse with me. Where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. So, the more words equals more chance of saying something I shouldn't. The more words you speak, and the more words I speak, equals the greater chance of saying something we shouldn't. There was a study conducted in 2007 by the University of Arizona. It found that women on average use 16,215 words a day. 16,215 words a day. Men on average use 15,669 words a day. 15,669. That is not the point right there, just to let you know. Okay? And this is not a diss on women, because women, I believe, are more relational, and so more words are understandable. And the word count is really about the same, 16,000 to 15,000, okay? And by the way, some of us are above average, I have no doubt, okay? All right? But what was amazing is that this study discovered that only 7,000 of our words are necessary. So you and I could count what we say, or could cut what we say in half, and it would be fine. I know what some of you are thinking. Pastor Scott, does that apply to sermons? Shh, be quiet. And as a matter of fact, it does. So I will see you next week. FaceTime with the fool. How to have a conversation with a fool. Say it with me. Don't have a conversation with a fool. Don't stay in the presence of a fool. Don't answer a fool, but do answer a fool. Don't be the fool. The less words, the better.
If you've been prompted by this message and are in need of a new beginning, or would like more information about Harvest New Beginnings, visit @harvest.church.